And if you'd like to go back to that passage Hazel read a few minutes ago, which was page 186 of the New Testament parts of our Bibles towards the end of the book, and have that in front of you. Just five verses from chapter 3, verse 12 to verse 16. Most of us here in some way or other have done great things in the past.
My words,
important
in
things.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
But Jesus Christ is concerned about the present
and
the future.
Go back to that passage Hazel read.
And so the question with which we begin the sermon this morning is, what will we do in the future as Christians?
Some men and women are converted, but afterwards disappoint God in the sense that they fail to make progress as Christians. It's as if they don't understand that God's grace, which brought them to faith, is, and it's my catchphrase, is a progressive faith. Now let's illustrate this simply. When I go to London, I go a different way from most people. I go by the side roads. And recently there has been a set of lights, because of roadworks, stopping me getting anywhere where on my way to Sevenoaks. Until they go green, I cannot start on my journey. I make no progress at all. The road is closed. Just so at our conversion, because of Jesus, the lights go green, okay, go. And we begin, not finish, our journey to heaven. Jesus is the way. We are now on his way, but have a journey of faith to complete before we reach our destination. And we're going to look, as I said, at these five verses this morning. And I've divided them into two parts for the exposition of the passage. Verse 12 to 14, the tension of living for Christ, if you like, the balance now and in the future. And verses 15 and 16, our unity of purpose. So let's begin with the tension or balance of living for Jesus Christ as Christians. Paul is always aware of the miracle of his personal meeting with Christ. That comes straight from this passage and many others. Verse 12, he is encouraged and presses on because, and he marvels at this, you can feel that in the passage, because Christ Jesus has made Paul his own. And contrary to a belief which was shared by some of the Philippians, Paul knows that he has not already obtained the resurrection referred to in verse 11 of the previous passage. To rise with Christ at conversion does not mean that Christians are there fully. They are then called to live a resurrection life and grow in grace. The lights have merely been set green. Go. The fullness of Christian experience will only be reached when Christ returns. Final perfection cannot be expected in this life, but progress with the help of God's grace towards perfection most definitely can be made. In this way, we understand Jesus' call to perfection, Matthew 5:48. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. St. Paul may have had faults, but complacency was not one of them. Verse 13. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it, that is the full knowledge of Christ, my own. Paul was not held back in his spiritual progress by a thought process which stifled the move towards perfection by implying that he had made it as a Christian. On the contrary, He concentrated on what the future holds for him, like a racehorse straining forward to what lies ahead. Knowing that they will only hinder his future ministry, he forgets what lies behind. That is, past successes, past failures as a Christian, and not least, the past demands of the Jewish religious practices of his upbringing. We have seen verse 7 that whatever, as a Jew, he had under the law, he counted as loss for Christ's sake. Verse 14 of our passage. Paul presses on towards the goal for the price of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Like all Christians over the centuries, Paul was called out of the darkness of sin into the glorious light of the gospel, living, only made possible by Jesus' death on the cross. As a forgiven man, he presses on, knowing that he is, and this is important for us, knowing that he is assured of eternal life with Jesus because he has met with him, but realizing that only when he has entered into the resurrection life himself will he obtain Jesus, who is the prize. Here, in this, is the tension or balance of living for Christ, but not yet fully in his presence. Paul's remaining ministry on earth will be by grace alone, powered by God, and leading to God. His call incorporating, that is the grace he received at his conversion, his call incorporating the ability to fulfill whatever Jesus had for him to do. That's why I talk about progressive grace. Paul will, Hebrews 12:2, look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of his faith, as with his whole being he goes for the prize. Our unity of purpose. Paul concludes these verses by calling the Philippians to a unity of purpose. He exhorts them to have one mind as a congregation and adopt Paul's gospel teaching. He is calling for unity of purpose around what it means to be a Christian, on the heresy of achieve perfection now, and in the furtherance of the true doctrine of progressive grace, progressive perfection. Paul is in effect repeating to the Philippians what he wrote to the people of Corinth, 1 Corinthians 14:20, brethren, do not be children in your thinking. As here, verse 15, let those of us who are mature be thus minded. He concludes by stating for those who think differently from him that God will demonstrate the truth to them. The unity of purpose called for is stated finally, verse 16, only let us hold true to what we have attained. So what we've heard is that we are in a Christian life and we're on the move, and that we have received grace by which we were converted, and day by day we receive grace to do all the sort of things that Jesus will want us to do until we meet with him in our resurrection life one day. So always the power of God is behind us. And what a lovely illustration it is to hear the wind this morning and to know the wind of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, will always be with us, helping us day by day. When Caroline and I were in France on holiday during the summer, again and again we looked out of the car and saw fields and fields of sunflowers, all facing towards the sun. They were tall. They were together. They were beautiful. This is a picture of our congregation of Christians when Jesus returns. To reach that stage, the sunflowers progressively needed to grow in perfection. And so how can we at All Saints strain forward like Paul, pressing on to that perfection which one day will be in front of Jesus Christ?
pressing on to a fuller knowledge of Jesus Christ, becoming day by day more like him. I suggest the following. One, when we become Christians, and this is mainly to those maybe who have become Christians recently, don't think we have made it. Don't think we have made it. We haven't made it, but we're on the road. We know Jesus Christ. And know when you're converted that you are assured of salvation. But realize that we are traveling on Jesus' way to that perfection, those beautiful sun, changing the spelling, sunflowers, facing the Lord. Two, as Christians, we are found in Jesus, and here is the wording that he uses, not having a righteousness of our own based on law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. What this means is that Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit to power our move towards perfection, to make us like Jesus if we open our hearts and minds to the Holy Spirit. Our sanctification, to use a biblical word, or change that to our move towards increased holiness, is part of the salvation package. It was part of when you became a Christian that you would become more like Jesus Christ. We do good works and become more like Jesus Christ. Therefore, as we look to the Holy Spirit for help like Paul, look forward. I say that the future is exciting. Look forward eagerly to what lies ahead. Press on towards the promised heaven. But enjoy this earth, because you are here for a reason as a Christian. If we are given a gift, and the people in our church have so many gifts, use it. Don't leave it rusting away. We shall be straining forward and pressing on, verses 13 and 14, together. And we shall be doing so if together we involve ourselves in the ministry of all saints. That is, just to begin that aspect, involve ourselves with prayer. Attend prayer meetings, first priority in PowerPoint, house groups. And for those of us who want to become more mature, discovering Christianity courses. But most of all, and this is the most important thing, to strain forward and press on is to strain forward and press on with faith. And as John Stott puts it, in Issues Facing Christians Today, true faith issues in love, and true love issues in service. And you can see what that means. And there is much service at All Saints and St. Richard's with which we can become involved. And remember, if there is effort in this straining forward and pressing on in love, that as God has prepared in advance the good works for us to do, Ephesians 2:10, so he's prepared the works for us to do, and obviously he will give us the strength to do them. And if you think about that, it's so exciting to be a Christian and to look forward, knowing that all the things that we're going to do in the future have been laid out for us by Jesus Christ already, and he will help us. It helps us to relax and have peace about being Christians. Some of us may be held back by past failures. Failure is something that niggles us, doesn't it? We have tried being a committed Christian, and we think it doesn't work. Maybe we need to begin again and say, Lord, help me. Knowing that we are forgiven people, remembering that we are forgiven people with the assurance of eternal life, that God has done everything for us, realizing that Jesus' death on the cross is complete, absolutely complete. In the sense that we are given this assurance and also the power in life to strain forward and press on in love. We may have been brought up, like St. Paul was, with religious practices, like I was with many religious practices. I was brought up to put confidence, like St. Paul was, in
religious practices, not understanding the joy of freely working for Jesus in his strength and wanting to because he has done so much for us. And that's why when I read that passage, I understand Paul's mind is so excited, as I've always been so excited when I realized fully that everything was done for me and all I needed to do was to walk in the footsteps that the Lord has put there for me. Leave the past. That's so important, to include our failures as Christians, our failures maybe in other aspects of life, our sadnesses, not least our failed relationships, maybe that redundancy which still niggles, that unhappy memory which is our personal secret and we've never shared with anybody, and begin again. You know, failure can be a springboard for success. And in the Christian life, there is success knowing that Jesus has done everything for us. And Jesus has made each one of us here this morning at the 9:15, who is a Christian and who is following the Lord, his own, just like he made St. Paul his own. And listen, he has given to us the same power he gave to St. Paul. Think what we can do if we're open to the power of God. At the beginning of this sermon, I spoke of the way by which I drove to Sevenoaks. This is a narrow way, by country lanes. And if we don't know it, we need a map. The broad way by which most people drive to Sevenoaks is by the main road. Just so. As Christians, our way to heaven made possible by Jesus is narrow, and we need the Bible to direct us. With this in our hands, demonstrating that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. With him helping us, we strain forward, press on along his way, allowing him little by little, day by day, to bring us to the complete perfection that we shall one day show in his presence, when as sunflowers, the beauty of us as followers of the sun will stand in his presence and his beauty will reflect on us because we have followed him. How wonderful that will be. And may this be our united purpose at All Saints and St. Richard's. Together we go on this wonderful way. Amen.